Really great to have the opportunity to share with you on this. I was going to say fine summer morning. It's not so fine, is it? But apparently it'll clear up later. So maybe there's a chance for a barbecue, possibly. Anyone been away yet? I'm looking for suntans and I'm not looking at the Rackstraw family. You've been away? Yeah? Okay, we've had Jill and Graham, you've been to Israel, haven't you? And with Steve and Fiona. Amazing. Anyone else been away yet? Oh, yeah, Peter and Anne, you've been away for a couple of months, wasn't it? No, a month. 7 weeks. Oh, yeah, it was a couple of months, wasn't it? Scott, you've been away? Yeah, okay. So who is yet to go away on holiday? You ready for it? Yeah, me too. So, yeah, for many of us, summertime is a time to relax, kick back, enjoy some sunny days, hopefully, depending on where we are, of course, and slow the pace a little. And I've been thinking a lot recently about how much more stuff we have to put down these days. You referred to it earlier, didn't you? There you go, Pat. See what I mean? You've already preached my first sentence, my first paragraph. It really is... a lot of stuff to put down in order to really rest. And in our normal everyday lives. Much of our attention is taken up with the worries and concerns of today and tomorrow and the burdens of everyday life. And we've made lots of references to that this morning, haven't we? So I wonder how many of us actually truly understand and live in the promised rest that God calls us to as his followers. Do we really know how much God wants to take care of us? And you referred to that this morning, Maddie, in that wonderful worship. Do we really know that? We can spend... Oh, I'm sorry. I have completely forgotten my slides. Okay. So, we can spend so much time dwelling on the to-do list and worrying about things that we totally forget that God offers himself as the dwelling place of provision, of protection and peace. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. That's David reminding himself of how the Lord is his shepherd. So throughout human history, there have always been life challenges. We're facing many of them today. We've had some bad news in the news this week, haven't we? Again, and actually we live in a time, don't we, where there are just a lot of pressures. As Solomon says in the book of Ecclesiastes, there is nothing new under the sun. So perhaps today you're struggling with pressures from work, or difficulties in a relationship, or like me, your son or your daughter has wandered away and is living it's my choice kind of a lifestyle. That's heartbreaking. Perhaps you are experiencing money pressures or illness in your family. Life can bring us many difficulties and hurdles to overcome. And we can live with those burdens, worries and anxieties about many different things, can't we? Unknowingly and unintentionally, perhaps, even building a wall of separation between us and God, simply by spending time trying to work things out and depending on our own resources. The good news is that in those challenges, we are not alone. He is never going to let us down. God tenderly cares for each of us, and he has a great way for us to find calm in the chaos. He offers us a better way to live by casting all our cares upon him, for he cares for us. I'm going to read this in the Amplified. Casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all on him. For he cares for you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. Now, I like to know what I'm reading and where I'm reading and where it comes from and the context. And, you know, I just don't want to kind of dive into something and be, you know, looking at something out of context. So I did a little bit of research, a little bit of study, which I love to do. And the context of this verse comes towards the end of Peter's letter to the believers in Asia Minor, which is modern day Turkey. He writes to encourage them to stand firm in their faith and to embolden them to persevere, overcome, and remain faithful to Christ, whatever comes to them. He testifies that the person they follow, Jesus, is true and dependable. And Peter knew what he was talking about. Remember, he'd witnessed firsthand the faithfulness of God through the perfect example of his son. He'd walked with Jesus as his disciple. And he experienced the Jesus who is the way, the truth, and the life. Peter was also the one who, when Jesus was arrested, had denied being his follower. Jesus knew this would happen. He knew that despite Peter's arrogance and self-confidence at that time, fear would overtake him. He knew the pressure would be overwhelming and that Peter would depend upon himself and his own resources to protect himself from the threat that was facing him. He knew Peter would turn back his back on him. And in Luke 22:32, it records Jesus' prediction just before his arrest. "Peter, stay on your toes. Satan has tried his best to separate all of you from me, like chaff from wheat. I have prayed for you in particular, that you do not give in or give out." So despite the terrible thing Peter was about to do, Jesus was letting him know that there would be a way back. We read later in John 21 that after the resurrection, Jesus releases Peter from the agony of his failure and from the betrayal. He restores their relationship and then calls Peter in to his destiny. He says once again, "Then Peter, follow me." When we make that life-changing decision to follow Jesus, we choose a life of union with God. That is, we're called to walk hand in hand with him every day and every moment of every day. Union with him means we say yes to his everlasting love. And we depend upon him. We rely on him as our first port of call. It means we can trust his plan, his purposes, and his promises. We can live in hope. A true hope. He invites us to a better way of living. I'll tell you a little aside on this story. You may actually recognise some of you. The man on the right is my husband, and on the left is his very good friend Richard. And it's just an aside. We went out one day to Gray's Court in Henley, and the two of them arrived in exactly the same clothes. It was absolutely hilarious. So we actually have an album of these two in the same clothes. We couldn't persuade Richard to take his socks off, though. It was very funny. But Jesus is like that, isn't it? He wants us to wear the same clothes, to be like him. So an interesting fact, the word follow, to be a follower, is used 77 times. I didn't count them. Just so you know, 77 times in the gospel alone, and they in those references refer to Jesus' disciples, his followers. It literally means a follower or a companion who is going in the same way. So as his followers, we continually learn from him and learn to live his way and not ours. Jesus says in Matthew 11. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father-Son operation, coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping this to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Come to me, he says. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So that's how to take a real rest. Comforting, isn't it? Okay, so let's go back to this verse. I did it again in my preparation for this. I did some study and I had a look at some of these words. So, to cast all your cares. Let's have a look at that word for a moment. I need two volunteers and what I would really like, and I don't, forgive me if you think I'm stereotyping. I need two volunteers and I need them to either like rugby or even play rugby. Anyone? Okay, come on then, Seb. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, look at this. Now, look at this. I mean, I'm not stereotyping, but... Okay. So, the word cast... Thank you. So, I need you to... Right, who's got a really, really good throw? Either of you? Would you? I tell you what, Alex, would you like to be God in this instance? Thank you. Just bear with me. Bear with. So, Alex, could you go and stand over there for me? Okay, that's great. So, the word cast literally means to thrust. Okay, so that means to be intentional. I'm just going to give possession of this to Seb. To be intentional with your throw. Yeah, oh yeah, this, good, this is all working really well. We didn't practice this early, so I'm really happy. Yeah, oh, we could do a really proper one, couldn't we? Whatever that is. Anyway, so, Seb, you have possession of a burden, a worry. And we need you to cast that, we need you to thrust that, to throw that with great intention. To God. There you go. And that's what it means to cast your care. Thank you. Okay. So, Seb, hang on a minute. Stay where you are. Seb, how tempted are you to try and take that back? Yeah. I say no more. Okay. And what about you, Alex? You're God. So what's going to happen now? Do you have any ideas about how you and Seb might relate together with that burden in your hands? Are you going to give that back or? Come on then. You'll be really glad that was a rugby ball. I played netball, and you don't thrust a ball like that. You throw it like that. Okay. Thank you very much, guys. That was great. Okay, so let's have a quick look at continue my word study. So we know what to cast means. It means to throw it with great intention, to thrust it. And it talks about casting upon in that scripture, doesn't it, in the New King James. And the word cast in that is really interesting because it very definitely relates to the thrust and the throw, but it also means quite literally to cast a garment on a colt. So that sounds really strange, doesn't it? And then I started thinking about it. A garment is something we wear. And a colt is an animal that carries heavy burdens. So let's have a look at the word cares. They've actually unfolded it here, all your anxieties, all your worries and all your concerns once and for all. It actually, in the Greek, and this is amazing and fascinating and says everything, it actually translates to be drawn in different directions. So just for a moment, I'm carrying a burden. I'm carrying something in my loft. And I am busy trying to work that out. And so I'm going to try lots of different things. I'm going to go this way. Does this work? Does this work? Does this work? Oh, no, that's not working. And I'm going to go this way. And I'm going to try this. Oh, no, that's not working either. And I'm going to get more and more tired. And I'm going to, but I'm still going to try. I'm still going to try. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. Come on, you can't give up. Can't give up. Can't give up. Come on. Can use your own energy for this. No. I'm just too tired. I'm just too tired. And that's what it means when we are drawn in different directions. It actually means chaos. It actually means procrastination. It means fear of failure. And we really do have some breath now. I haven't run like that for a while. We do really need to use great effort. And it becomes a total preoccupation. I'm going to have a sip of water. I'm going to have a glug, actually. So for many years of my life, I was pretty skillful at taking up the reins, doing my own thing, my own way, never asking for any help. Dependency was not in my DNA. Much of my independence came from not knowing God like I needed to know him. And to be honest, my mind needed a reboot. I needed some help in my loft. And that's what the Bible calls the renewing of your mind. So from an early age, I learned to do nearly everything for myself. My reality was that if I didn't take the lead and didn't find my own solution, something or nothing would happen. And that something or nothing probably wouldn't have a good outcome. I have needed to learn as his disciple, as his follower, to actually follow. And God's still working on that one. But as his follower, I am committed to continually learn to live his way. So this is just about the best way to get to know God, by the way. And I know we're encouraging everyone to get into the Word and to read that daily. It is food to your soul, and it will renew your mind, most definitely. And you will get to know the person you're following even better. This is a love letter. In fact, my husband calls it a journey into love, which is really beautiful. And through it, God faithfully reveals his own nature. And we can ask Holy Spirit to help us along the way. He's always there. Okay. So, there's nothing like putting God's word into practice. Let's be doers of the word, shall we, and not just hearers. So, I believe that as we've been together, listening together, joining together and being family together this morning, the Lord has been highlighting some to you, some of those things that he wants you to throw his way. And he's happy to take the weight. He won't try and take it from you. He leaves that up to you to make that decision. But remember, he cares for you with the deepest affection. And he wants the very best for you. He has paid a price for you to be free from weariness and worry and anxiety and fears. He has paid a price for you to live a life that is abundant.